This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join Trader Nick in the United States for the latest from the markets. Nick, good afternoon from London. Good morning to you.
Hey, Johnny. Good morning. Good to be back with you.
Another fascinating week, and we've had a raft of figures on both sides of the Atlantic today. I suppose the question is, are any of these figures now that relevant, bearing in mind what's been going on in the last 2 weeks in the Middle East?
That is a great question, Johnny. And there's a couple figures here, I think, that do still carry some weight to them. So let's just go through and then kind of reflect a little bit. So overnight, we did get the UK economic synopsis with the GDP number coming in flat, 0.0% month over month readings. The forecast was for 0.2%. And to be candid, the UK did not need that number. It was already struggling. It already had, you know, challenges with sticky inflation, slow growth. And so this was definitely not perceived well. The British pound traded the weakest against the US dollar in quite some time here recently. I'm just pulling it up on the chart as far back as actually as we speak, down 0.75% here today. That's the lowest the pound has been against the US dollar since December of last year. You know, despite expectations for the US to cut interest rates, a lot of that has changed with the situation in the Middle East, but also with fresh data like this to confirm UK economic slowdown. You asked, you know, if this is backwards looking at all. And I would say, yes, this is, of course, we're always kind of looking at old data by the time it gets to us. But it still shows an indication of slowdown in UK economic activity, sticky inflation, and I mean, it's hard for me not, Johnny, to wonder, given the Middle East situation. We have had, as we discussed in the last podcast, a bit of an easy time or easier time working away at this inflation issue post the Russia-Ukraine situation, because oil prices topped out and have been mostly trending lower over the last few years. With the escalation in the Middle East, things get tricky again. We'll talk more about that in a second, of course, but I wanted to finish out with the data. So we also had Canadian employment statistics this morning. They came in real poor. Employment change came in at minus 83,900 jobs. It was expected for them to have 10,300 or so. That's at least the measurement. And so we also saw unemployment rate tick to 6.7% compared to 6.6% expected. This is sort of echoing what we saw with U.S. jobs report. In the North American region, jobs were lost here. And then also we did have some inflation statistics with the U.S. core PCE number coming in this morning, pretty much in line with expectations on a month-over-month expected basis. And then finally, we had the preliminary GDP numbers, which were actually lowered down to 0.7% growth as expected. The previous number and expectation for today's reading on that was 1.4%. So very interesting, to say the least. We had durable goods orders also come in a little light here in the U.S., both on the core and overall level. And then finally, this morning, we had JOLTS job openings, which came in actually better than expected. So a little bit of decent jobs data mixed in there. Dollar index, just as we discussed, still very firm on the day, actually reaching its highest level since, well, the level that we've not been at since July of 2025. We've not been able to break this, but over 100 on the DXY.
Nick, going back to those UK GDP figures, I suppose the specter of stagflation is once again on the horizon, because we have that awful combination of low growth, or in this case, no growth, combined with potential inflation because of what's going on in the Middle East. I mean, the figures underscore that the economy was fragile even before the outbreak of the war with Iran, which of course has caused a major energy shock that could have a ripple effect around the world. But the UK is in a bad state. And of course, we've got the Bank of England meeting very soon. Under normal circumstances, we would have definitely seen a cut in rates for sure, but they're not going to do that, are they?
No, and I mean, I think you set that up really well with the stagflation concerns coming back in, not just for the UK, but globally, because of this external factor. Inflation disruption on the supply side especially is very tricky for central banks, because unlike, as you've pointed out, UK dealing with slow growth, if that is your situation to deal with, theoretically, let's cut some interest rates, let's ease monetary policy, let's help out the economy. But if you have this thing going on that you cannot control, aka oil price shocks, you can't do anything about that as a central bank. You can't control what the price of oil does. And if the price of oil is moving based on supply constraints, which is what we are seeing, again, it feels very akin to what we were talking about back in 2022, 2023 in the podcast, where we already were dealing with some inflation. And then we had an external geopolitical shock with the Ukraine and Russia situation. Very interesting how, you know, that same play following all of this. And as you've pointed out, the UK already dealing with sticky inflation and slow growth could be made worse by this.
And of course, the Trump administration is doing what it can to try and ease the rise in the cost of oil by easing sanctions on countries like Russia, which has sparked a deep concern from a geopolitical level amongst, for instance, pro-Ukraine campaigners. But the Trump administration doesn't really have much choice at the moment, does it? Or does it?
Right. And that is a kind of a challenging aspect of this, is we've got conflict on two fronts to think about. I mean, at the end of the day, there have been several attempts here internationally to sort of respond to this, releasing oil reserves, et cetera. And I don't claim to be an expert on the global oil, you know, trade. However, it is worth mentioning that smarter people than I on this subject have pointed out that while these things may help, the Strait of Hormuz remaining under threat will be a predominant factor in where oil prices are going, because, of course, just the vast quantities that go out to, you know, all over the world, but especially in Southeast Asia. And I want to mention that, too, because there are also reports that Chinese vessels are actually still being allowed through to offer oil to a close ally of Iran, of course, being China. So kind of interesting to see how that plays out. But from a overall global markets perspective, oil supply disruptions, to say the least.
Although we did have a fairly punchy press conference from Secretary of Defense, or Secretary of War, as he likes to be called, Pete Hegseth, who said that the Straits of Hormuz situation would be resolved in the next few weeks, but we'll wait and see. Let's look to the week ahead. Obviously, the geopolitical situation could mean we'll see a number of different things happening over the next few days. But what else should we look out for?
Yes. So next week, we've got a couple key figures coming out. We have the Canadian CPI coming out on Monday morning, as well as the RBA making a statement, which has been one to watch because the Australian dollar has been very strong recently, one of the more hawkish central banks of the group of major G7 nations. We also have on Wednesday, we have the core producer price index figure coming out for the United States. Bank of Canada will go on Wednesday as well with their press conference and rate statements. And then, of course, we have on Wednesday of next week, the big one as well, the Fed funds rate decision, as well as economic projections. We'll get some dot plot data, FOMC statement stuff. Thursday, we have our standard unemployment claims, but we also hear from the Bank of England with their monetary policy summary, the bank rate votes, of course, notorious there, and then the Swiss National Bank also going. We also get some employment data out of the UK as well, which will be heavily anticipated given the weak GDP numbers. We'll continue to see how things are playing out in the labor department for the UK as well. That's going to wrap it up for next week.
Excellent stuff. Have a great weekend, and we will speak to you next week.
Thanks, Johnny.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.